And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So I'm going to start out with my first point, which is saving faith produces fruit. And so I'm going to have you all start out in Matthew. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 3, 7 through 8 is what we'll be reading. Matthew chapter 3, 7 says, but when he saw many other Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth ever fruits met for repentance. Now this is John the Baptist. He's in the wilderness right now in Judea. He's baptizing people, and he sees the Pharisees and Sadducees come, and he's saying, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, meaning bear fruit in keeping with repentance, which means if you are saying that you have salvation, if you are repenting of your sins, then you should be bearing fruit in your life that is in keeping with that repentance, that displays that you have repented in your life. Go ahead and flip two chapters over to chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now we know that as Christians we are to be a light to the world. And one of those ways of being a light to the world is having good works. Because once you are saved in Christ, we are to produce the fruit. We are to produce those works. And that is what this verse here is saying. Go ahead and go another two chapters to Matthew 7, verse 21. In Matthew 7, 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So as we see that there will be a time that people say, Lord, Lord, you know, didn't we do all these works in your name? And he's saying, I never knew you. As you read down, he's saying, you know, I didn't know you. You didn't do the will of my Father. You did works, but it wasn't the works of my Father. Your works did not save you. You had to have saving faith as well, and that saving faith will produce the works. So it's not the sayer, as we had talked about last week, is not the hearer, it's but the doer who will enter into the kingdom of God. Now go ahead and turn a few books over to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 23. We're going to read all the way to 3:3. John chapter 2, verse 23 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man. For he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we see here, they believed in his name when they saw all these miracles happening. And even Nicodemus, he was the ruler of the Jews, stated, we believe. Now, it's interesting that he says, we believe, so because he came to Jesus by night, We don't know if he was either alone or those people earlier in the day came with him. But he is stating for all the people that were there at that time, saying, we believe. So he believed and those with him. And he states that he knows that thou art a teacher from God. They believed in the miracles. They believed in his name and maybe even believed that he was the Messiah. It doesn't say, but it is possible. But then what is Jesus' response in verse 3? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But you might say, wait, he said he believed. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying his belief not good enough? He's saying, no, belief is not good enough on its own. There must be a transformation. Any true faith, any true belief in Christ will transform you. The believer must be transformed. That's my second point, is saving faith is transformative. Go ahead and go a few chapters to John 8, verses 30 to 31. In John 8, 30 to 31, he says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So there's also an obedience, a transformation, a new birth that must take place. An intellectual belief is not sufficient for salvation. So we can conclude that there is a non-saving faith, a non-saving belief, and a saving faith, a saving belief. And there's a quote that I read. I want to read it here. I think it sums things up pretty well. It said, valid saving faith has always been verified by fruit, and a false, dead faith is indicated by the absence of righteous actions. Now, it is clear that many people possess that kind of faith. They believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, but not to the point of salvation. They may believe the facts about God or the facts about Jesus Christ, but they manifest no commitment to Jesus Christ himself. They manifest no changed life that comes with true salvation marked by repentance and obedience. So as I said before, intellectual belief is not enough. Hebrews 10:4, you don't have to turn there, it says we must have real sanctification. So if you're a true believer in Christ, sanctification will happen, and it will be evident to you. But go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verses 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that's pretty evident. We are created to do good works. And God has even ordained that we should walk in them, meaning you should walk in doing good works each and every day. We should be doing good works. Saving faith is manifested in works. Go ahead and look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I want to make sure this is clear. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one is saved by works. But once you are truly saved, like I said before, those works will be produced in you. And it won't be just an intellectual faith or an intellectual belief. You will produce those works. And the first week when I was talking about James, we went through James 1, 1 through 4, I mentioned how James was writing to the Christian Jews and how they had went from extreme legalism to now knowing that they're saved by grace. And so when you think about that fact, I'm sure there was plenty of spiritual laziness. They had gone through not only trying to follow the law and adding more and more and more laws just to make sure they didn't even get close to breaking the law, that now they're saying you are saved by grace, and they're thinking, hey, I can pretty much do whatever I want. Saved by grace. I don't have to do all these different requirements. But James in 2:14, we can go back to James now. In James 2:14 through 20, he's telling them that faith without works is dead. He's saying, what good is such a claim of faith if you have no pattern of a righteous life, a changed life? We all know that good soil produces good fruit. And when we look at just the verse right before that, we see in James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And we speak of mercy or compassion, we can look at James 2:15 through 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And again, when he's saying brothers and sisters, he's speaking to the fellow Christians. So if he was here now saying this, he'd be speaking to us here, saying brothers and sisters. So if one of us came to a fellow believer and saying, hey, not really being, I don't think he believes, not saying naked as in completely naked. They would obviously have maybe some raggedy clothes on and desolate of daily food, meaning they don't really have enough food to get through the day. They don't have food to survive. And when you look at this verse, it is interesting. It says, depart in peace, be ye warm. So obviously there is a connection between the two. It's not they're just showing up and seeing someone on the side of the street and saying, depart in peace, my brother. There was obviously for example, you could say maybe in today's society, they got together for coffee. And you see that, hey, they are in need. They need clothing. They need food. Or maybe you even invited them to your house. And you see they need clothes. They need food. But if all we do when we see that need in a fellow Christian, a brother or sister, we say, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and we don't give them anything, it doesn't profit anything. It doesn't help them at all. We haven't done any justice to them. We haven't had any mercy. We haven't any compassion. So go ahead and flip over to Romans 2, 5 through 6. In Romans chapter 2, 5 through 6, we read that the righteous judgment of God will be rendered to every man according to his deeds. It says, but after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasure it up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. We will be judged by our deeds. Go ahead and turn to Galatians 2:16. I warned you ahead of time, they'd be flipping. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of law. For by the works of law shall no flesh be justified. Now people will look at verses like this, and they look what James is saying about faith and works, and they're saying they have to be talking about something different. James must be saying that works is what saves you, and Paul must be saying that grace is what saves you. And that's not true. They are both saying the exact same thing. What they say is Paul is saying that salvation is by grace. James is saying that salvation by grace produces work. They go together perfectly. And to show this a little bit more, we're going to go to a couple more verses. We'll start out with 2 Timothy 2:19. In 2 Timothy 2:19, It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if we claim that we are born again of Christ, one of the things that we're supposed to do as having our fruit show, as having our works show, is try as best as we can to depart from iniquity. Are we going to achieve that perfectly? Absolutely not. We are not perfect. We can't be perfect. We will sin. That's our human nature. But that is what we are, exactly what we're supposed to attempt to do each and every day while we're living for Christ, knowing that we are saved through faith. Go ahead and flip to the next book, Titus 1:6. In Titus 1:6 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. And abominable kind of has a meaning of detestable. And unto every good work, reprobate kind of means they are unfit for any good work. Meaning no matter what work they are going to do, they are unfit to actually make it a good work. They profess that they know God, but in works, they deny him. Meaning that they say they are believers in Christ, but everything they do, or most of the things they do, their works, the things you see in their character, their daily life, does not represent that of a Christian, of someone who says they actually truly believe in God. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, just one chapter over, verses 7 through 8. It says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So here we see, talking about speech, which we've talked about before in chapter 1, having no unwholesome speech, having our character show that we are Christians by what we say, the things we do, even as far as maybe the music we watch or music we listen to, the movies we watch. That can count. If we look like the world and do everything that the world does, well, we could be very worldly, and the world will not think that you're a follower of Christ. We have to be different, and that must show in our character and what we do. So my third point is saving faith is manifested in works. So we'll go back to James chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 17. It says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So we see in Scripture there's a constant teaching about faith, about true faith, that it will be displayed by works, by deeds. And the Scripture makes it very clear. It also makes it very clear that no one is saved by works, and no one can say they have faith but have no works. James is saying your fruit or your faith is dead. There is no faith in you. There is no fruit. And he says, even so faith. So why does he say even so faith? Because he's talking about the first two verses, or the 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and you say depart, don't give them anything to be clothed or food, since that doesn't profit anything, he's saying as well your faith without works does not profit anything. Your faith is dead. It's alone. There is no salvation there. You have deceived yourself. Kind of like in chapter 1 when James is talking about those who have deceived themselves when they hear, but in their heart, they're only a hearer of the word. They're not a doer of the word. They didn't have any works. It's an empty faith, a non-saving faith. And in James 2:18, it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and have works, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, there are some commentators here that believe James is just talking about himself in the third person. That is most likely the case, or he could even be thinking of someone who maybe he had this conversation with. But Either way, we don't know, but he's just saying, if he's, say, looking in a mirror and talking to himself, he would be saying, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So why is James saying this? Because he knows it cannot be done. It is impossible. You say you have faith and that you believe in Christ. What is your evidence? Where is your evidence? You have to demonstrate your faith. There should be a fruit of righteousness, or the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Long-suffering there means patience, and temperate means like self-control. And faith, you could even say, is faithfulness. So in James 2:19-20, it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So he's saying there that even the devils believe. They are definitely not saved, but they believe. They know where they're going to. We see that throughout the Gospels when the demons come and Jesus shows up and they're saying, are you here to judge us before the time? They know what's going to happen to them. They believe. They absolutely believe. But point four, saving faith is more than intellectual faith. Now we'll look at one more passage, Acts chapter 8. We turn to Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at, starting at verse 9. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now we look at this, most of all, Bibles talk about Simon's attempt to, later on, purchase the Holy Spirit. He sees them come, they place their hands on the people, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's, I want that power. Can you give me that power? But there's also an interesting point here, as what we just read. It says here that Simon, he believed. He believed, he was baptized, and he continued with Philip. Think of that today. How many do we know who say they believe, get baptized, and come to church all the time? Is that saving faith true to their heart? Do they actually have a regenerated heart? Or, like Simon, he did not have an unregenerated heart. Or he did have an unregenerated heart. And we see that when we look down. In verse 21, it says, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. He says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And then we see Simon answer and say, pray. Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And it's interesting, that was his response. He didn't ask, well, how do I change my heart from the greed that I have? You know, what do I need to do to make sure I'm faithful? He said, I want you to pray. Can you just pray that this doesn't happen to me? Not that he has a changed heart. He's saying just pray that this doesn't happen. Evidence that his heart is not right. So when we look at through all these verses, it's easy to come across for some that they focus on some passages and not the others and try to come to a different conclusion. But it's very easy once you look throughout all the scripture that you are saved by faith. But that must be a true saving faith. You must truly have faith in Christ. And that will be evident by your works. And so faith and works go together. It's not, work is not a bad word. I know many times as soon as someone starts talking about work, they're like, oh no, don't say that word, that's bad. Unless you know we're Christians, but they go together. We need works. We should be producing works. We should be showing the world our works. They should look at us and say, yep, I bet you that person's a Christian. But we cannot just count on our works to display a Christian faith as well. There has to be some type of speech. It has to be something saying, yes, I am saved by Christ. I believe in Christ. I believe that he died and rose again for my sins. If we just produce works, then we could be Tom Cruise. We could be anybody. If you just do good stuff, they would never know unless you actually talk about Christ that you are saved. They'll be able to match the two together and say, oh, that's why this person behaves this way. That's why their character is this way. That's why they talk this way, because they have saving faith in Christ. So hopefully I want all of you and myself to be reminded to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves, to see, are we in the faith? Do our actions, does our character display a living faith of Christ? It says, are you willing to recognize, are you willing to understand that a faith without works is dead? It is useless. It will profit you nothing. I pray that we will have works displayed each and every day of our lives. Our character, where we talk, where we act, will always show our faith in Christ. And that we'd be willing to constantly speak of Christ so they know that's why our works are the way they are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that was given to me to be able to preach your word. And I pray that each and every day we will be reminded that we need to display our works for the glory of you. That people will see that we are different, so they know what faith in you produces, and that they will want to be a part of the Christian faith. They will understand and realize that you died for our sins, and you were risen again 3 days later, and that is belief on you is the only way to heaven. That is the only way we have salvation. It's not by works, but it's by faith. And true faith, works will be produced on their own. I pray that we would remember this and we would continue to look at our lives to make sure that we are following your word and we would display these attributes. I pray this in your son's name. Amen.